Welcome in. This is the Bite Size Irish Podcast, episode 137. And today I have the privilege of publishing an interview that I did with Emma of Bite Size Irish. She's our community manager and she comes from Dungarvan in Waterford. And she currently lives in Germany, and as well as working at Bite Size Irish, she also teaches Irish to university students in Germany at the University of Leipzig. And I found it really interesting getting to know a bit about An Rhein, that's the Gaeltacht in Waterford, Gaeltacht na Rinne, or it's also known as Gaeltacht na Néise. And so we linked that to her current teaching as well, and what advice she gives to people who are learning the Irish language, be it if they're at school, if they had Irish at school or not, the top resources that she recommends, the top books. And I hope that after listening to this interview, you feel like you've gotten to know Emma a bit better. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And you can watch this interview also on our YouTube channel. So you go to Bite Size Irish YouTube channel, and you'll find our interview with Emma under the specials podcast, under the specials playlist. You'll be able to find it under there. It was published in January 2022. So I'll leave you to go into the interview now, and away we go. Good Ricardo, and Falta Gudi Aglevle Emma. Emma, can I start to? How are you?
Tommy Gahunto, how's to hang on?
Tom Gama. Emma is our Bannister Public Community Manager at Bite Size Irish. So I wanted to do an interview with her. I guess away we go. So, Emma, it's a bit strange, isn't it? Because we're usually speaking Ascoilge on the team at Bite Size Irish. So that's a certain art and a whole of a glart as Berle Lechele, but I suppose we have to do it in English mostly for the audience.
Okay? Exactly. Yeah. It's good to get to know your English side as well, Owen. It's almost like a second personality, you know, I feel anyway.
Let it out sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grant, we live with that. So Emma, people will recognize you on YouTube if they're subscribed to Bite Size Irish, because you do regularly live Q&As for the Irish language. So to introduce you a little bit to people watching and listening, this will be a podcast as well. Emma is from Portlaoise, Waterford. She studied Irish at university, and very interestingly, as well as working at Bite Size Irish as community manager, she teaches Gaeilge at a university in Germany. So it'll be really interesting to get her perspective on that. So Emma, how would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, well, Gurmahagadon, you gave me a nice introduction there. Yeah, so I hail from Waterford, Dungarvan, to be specific, or Dungarvan, in the sunny southeast. And I went, as you said, I studied Irish in college, but I also attended an all-Irish speaking primary school. Now, if anyone knows the geography of Ireland, which I'm sure plenty of you do, Dungarvan is very close to a Gaeltacht area, which is on Rhine or Ring. So I actually was lucky enough to grow up near enough to a Gaeltacht. I'm not from the Gaeltacht. My grandmother lives about 15 minutes drive. I'm really on the border to it. But I was lucky enough to get the influx of teachers that came from the Gaeltacht. And I grew up from the age of 4 until around about 11, 12, learning Irish from native speakers from the Gaeltacht area. So I'm very proud of that I got that opportunity to start off. But then I went on to my secondary schooling, and I wasn't so happy to head out to the Gaeltacht area to do my secondary schooling, just because it was far out and it was a smaller school. I wanted to be in town. So I kind of dropped my Irish love for my secondary schooling, but I found my way back. So yeah, I finished my degree in Irish and German in UCC and decided to move to Germany and pursue German. And I fell into this job of teaching Irish in Leipzig in the east of Germany. And I've been here actually just over three years. It was my 3 year anniversary in Germany on the 10th of January. So happy anniversary to me. I'm in the university almost 3 years now, and I absolutely love it. And then I found Bite Size last year. So I didn't think, from something that I thought was just going to be 6 months long in Germany, working, you know, in a shop or a cafe, practicing my German, I've now found my niche here, I think, and I hope to continue on.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you can end up with, like, Gaeilge being your current career in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you were, it was a Gaeilge school, right? Your primary school. So at the time, do you remember it being anything special, or like for you, like Gaeilge was just like a natural thing? You're a kid in that environment. How did it feel?
Yeah, good question. I didn't think much of it when I was there. My parents didn't have Irish, and we didn't grow up, you know, when I was between one and four, I didn't grow up speaking Irish. And I just went in. I remember being in the Nínra, in the play school there, starting off, I think it was the age of three. And I never remember any difficulty. That's the first thing. I never really remember having any difficulty understanding. Obviously, we weren't thrown into just speaking in Irish. I'm sure there was a mix of Irish and English that the kids could understand. But as I went through school, not really. My cousins had one or two of them actually transferred over to the Irish school when my aunts and uncles saw that other cousins were going. So a lot of my family, I always had family in maybe an older class or a younger class than me. And I never really noticed a difference until I actually went into secondary school. And then I got mixed in with students who had, I think 80% of them had gone to English speaking primary schools. It was a couple of people. There was only one or two from my primary school that went on into my secondary school with me. And then there was one or two from the actual Gaeltacht schools. And they were the ones that kind of put emphasis on, oh, Emma knows Irish, Emma can speak Irish. Oh, Emma, can you tell me the homework? How can you do the homework? Mm-hmm. You know, you were used that way. The biggest change, I suppose, was speaking in English to my teacher, because that wasn't really done in my primary school. But no, it was really normal to me. And even though I wasn't living in the Gaeltacht, when I came out of school, I spoke English. It was never a huge difficulty or a huge difference. It was just school time was Irish time and home time was English. And my mother did mix in Irish as much as she could when she did our homework with us and everything. But it was a nice kind of mix of both in my life, I think. It was quite equal.
Okay, and what, let's say the homework, right? Because I definitely hear people, parents of Gaeilge schools, especially my two sons are in a Gaeilge school now locally in Limerick.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely some parents, depending on how much Gaeilge they have, they can struggle with that. So, like, did your mom, when you were growing up, have enough Gaeilge to like support you?
She did. There was always a couple of things. I think mathematics was the one that would yeah, stump you, just because the vocabulary is so specific, isn't it? But I think you get the hang of it after a while. We were obviously sent home with books at certain points. You know, you pick up these books and you have to do certain reading and things like that in English and in Irish, to practice your phonics and all of that. I remember my mother got on better than my father. I think my mother was better in school. My father says that he has a skill for not retaining information. And I'd say he just left my mother to it a bit more. But I'm sure it took her, you could ask her maybe, but I'm sure it took her maybe a year or two to get the hang of it. But She got along quite well, and she picked up quite a lot from us as well, which was really interesting. And she still has it, you know. She still, I remember she'd never used the word lunch. It was always loan, and she still says it to me to this day. Do you want some loan? So I like that about her. She still has that that, you know, inkling from when we were in school and when we were young. But yeah, it can be really difficult, and I understand how parents, you know, would struggle. But I think the further on they go in school, you see the repetition of the vocabulary even that you use, you know, especially with maths or certain things that need working out. But the schools are often quite helpful as well in that sense, if ever, you know, support is needed from parents, they are quite helpful. I remember the teachers were.
Yeah, there's definitely understanding there for sure. Yeah. And like these days, there's like WhatsApp groups and stuff between parents. So there's a bit of help going on there as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I see it, I have to say, with some people, some families, I guess, in our school. I see some parents are using little bits of Gaeilge with the kids. And I suppose it's hard to tell how much exposure they're really getting, but it does seem to help, even if they're using phrases that it's not completely alien to hear any Irish at home. So yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So you kind of scooted past secondary school there. So like I have to say, I didn't enjoy Irish in secondary school. Like I guess I'd be more interested now, but like, the going into the leaving cert, that exam at the end of secondary school, like there was poetry and literature that just it didn't speak to me at the time. So did you have any interest in Gaeilge in that way, or was it after school then completely that you kind of came back to Gaeilge?
So when I entered first year, after coming out of primary school, I remember that the level that we were on, I kind of basically went back to first class, in my opinion. I found the classes quite, I suppose, uninspiring, because it was something that I had covered when I was 8 or 9 years old. The teachers obviously have to have a basic level for everyone and get everyone on a common level in the first and second year. So we're leading up to the first round of exams in our third year of secondary school. So I remember being just quite unmotivated, and it didn't really give me, it was more so a class that I knew that I could relax in. Whereas everyone else was trying to maybe catch up or learn, or, you know, whatever Irish level that they had from their English speaking schools. It all depends as well, you know, on each school, absolutely each school that they come from. Going through school, it was just something that I didn't hate, but I didn't necessarily love either. I was just uninspired and just right Irish. And a lot of my friends used to ask for help. I'd have no problem helping. The teacher would call on me often, you know, to explain things or, you know, to answer questions if the class hadn't a clue. It came to then maybe fifth and sixth year, when we were gearing into actual curriculum learning for the end of year or end of school exams. And there's 20 picture stories that you should learn to be able to rattle off in your oral exam. And the oral exam is worth 40%. And what you have to do is you choose from one of the 20 on the day. And realistically, the teacher tries to get you to almost learn off a script off by heart that you were able to just rattle off in the exam. Now that was never my vibe at all. I really, learning anything off by heart was quite difficult to me anyway. So I remember kind of sitting there going, oh my God, like, why are we learning this off by heart? But obviously there's 20 picture stories, and for someone who isn't, you know, amazing at Irish, learning it off by heart has to happen, unfortunately. And that happens with every kind of exam, you know, if you're learning off anything for even a definition for something in science, fine. But I remember sitting in class and thinking, what am I going to do after college or after school? What am I going to do for my university or college? And I was always interested in in computers. And I thought that I might do something in the line of digital media or design. And I actually went to a couple of open days, but I was sitting in class and I thought, I love Irish. And it's actually, I felt sad that I'd spent the last 6 years not hating Irish, but also not pursuing anything with it. And I thought it as a shame that I had spent all these years in primary school, and now I'm kind of spent the last 6 years redoing primary school, but in a more uninteresting way. And a friend said to me, Emma, like, why don't you do it in college? And I thought, yeah, I suppose I could. But I thought, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a secondary school teacher or primary school teacher, because that's often what people would, you know, aim towards. That's the kind of first thing that you think of anyway, especially as an 18-year-old or 17-year-old in school. You think, well, I can only be an Irish teacher in a school. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. So I ended up actually kind of toying with the idea of doing Irish. I looked at different things within Irish, law and Irish, but I had no interest in law. I thought, well, what the hell am I going to do? And I just thought then, well, I'm not so bad at German. I wasn't top of the class, but I thought, right, let's go for that. And I ended up actually deciding on it to go forward in my bachelor in just doing languages. Now, languages were never my thing, but I think the fact that I had Irish really pushed me. I don't think if I hadn't gone to the Irish speaking primary school, I definitely wouldn't have been at the level that I was in secondary school. And I absolutely don't think I would have gone forward with it in university. So I had this like enlightening moment at the end of my school days where I thought, no, this is one thing that I'm really good at in school, because I had that skill from when I was young, and I decided to go with it, and I've landed myself here doing it, and I didn't think I'd even love it as much, and here I am as a teacher. Okay, I'm not in a secondary school or a primary school, but I'm teaching it, and my mother always wanted me to be a teacher. She said that they get great holidays, but I've ended up doing it, and I'm delighted, absolutely delighted I did it.
I'll jump back a little, because I find it interesting, like, that you said you're from Duncaravan, Dungarvan. So when I visit Galway City, I always notice that there's more Irish around than typically I would see, say in Limerick. There's definitely more of an Irish language vibe going on.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that in Dungarvan? Like, is there any Irish that creeps into life there, or is it your average English speaking town?
No, definitely. There's definitely more Irish there than I would expect in, you know, or that I'd see in maybe even Cork City, you know, where I lived for college. Now, Cork City is obviously bigger than Dungarvan. But the point being that when I was working, I worked in a local cafe in the square in Dungarvan. And even there, people didn't know I was a Gaelic goer. Okay, I'd often get old teachers would come in and they'd say, oh, close the door to him, you know, and it'd be lovely to chat to them. But I'd hear a lot of families coming in with kids speaking Irish fully, ordering in Irish, the whole lot. Now, they'd turn to me then and speak in English, because obviously they'd presume that I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't presume that anyone is fluent enough. But I would just, my face would light up, and I'd be able to do everything in Irish with them. And I noticed that a lot working for that. I think I worked about 6 months in that cafe, and I really saw more people than I ever would have thought speaking Irish. And as well as that, there's a lot of bars and pubs around that have Gaelic Oiries within them. So it's kind of like, if you know, you know. And I know people just through friends or from school, or, you know that they're from the Gaeltacht. You would always go for Irish with them. And Dungarvan is really good because it's, I can't think of the actual term, but it's a service town for the Gaeltacht. So there's a lot of people that live in the Gaeltacht that will come into Dungarvan and do their, you know, do their shopping, do their work, do a lot of things like that. Because Ring has a couple of shops, you know, a bar and a restaurant, but the closest town and the biggest town to it is Dungarvan, and it's quite big. There's a movement there. There's an organization, Dungarvan Le Gaeilge, so Dungarvan with Irish, and there's readings, there's kids' readings organized in the local library. There's a lot of things going on there, but you kind of have to know that they're going on you know, it's social media is a brilliant thing. I now know about it because, you know, of Facebook groups and everything following them. But I even know about them when I'm in Germany. So I try and keep up with what's going on in Dungarvan because I find that it's going to grow. It's going to grow in the years. I don't think it's going backwards. I think it's going forwards in Dungarvan because of the fact that Ring is there. The college is there that students go to in the summer to, you know, to study Irish. There's also then everything that's going on in Ring kind of flutters into Dungarvan at some point then.
Interesting. I don't personally have that context with Dungarvan, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a teenager, we visited on Rhine, and I was surprised that there was a Gaeltacht there. I wasn't aware growing up that there was any type of Gaeltacht there. It wasn't on my radar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Munster Irish, right? Am I right there?
Mm-hmm.
It is. But it's kind of, in my mind, strange geographically because the Gaeltacht in my mind is always over on the west coast somewhere, like Connemara mm-hmm. or Cundahiri. So it is a bit of a discrepancy in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, we're just on the border, you know. We're in the south. We're technically the southeast, aren't we? But you're heading west. You know, you come down, you fly into Dublin, and you come down the east coast, and you're heading west when you hit Dungarvan. Yeah, but even fair. At that, like with the idea of Munster Irish, there's Munster Irish, and then obviously there's that's further divided within Munster. Then, you know, you mm-hmm. have Gaeilge-Muskrí or, you know, Cork Irish, and then you obviously have Kerry Irish, but you also then have Ring Irish. And that was something that I noticed when I went to when I went on to university. I noticed I'd grown up learning my dialect of Ring Irish, bar one or two teachers that were from other parts of the country, but you know, it wouldn't really stick too much. And then going into university and noticing all of the other dialects that I definitely wouldn't have, I've only heard on the Owl tape, you know, I hadn't met anyone from Connemara like, or anything. Donegal like
Irish, it's real, like.
I never met anyone. I couldn't believe it. So, and even that this Munster Irish, there's a lot of people from Kerry there. And I remember when I was pronouncing some words, people, it wasn't so common, but one or two people said, how did you pronounce that word? So one thing about Ring Irish is the pronunciation of the I's. So on Rhine,
okay.
Whereas you might hear people say Rin, Gaeilgeir na Rinne, which is fine on Rhine. And then the words for example, around, which is Teampel, which is what a lot of people would say. I would say Teampel. And the word for nay, the number nine, would be nigh. And the word for dinner would be dinair or ginair. I would say dinair. So that was one that's one difference with Ring Irish is the I's, which I love. I tried to change it when I was in university. I got a bit confused. Yeah. I thought that I was wrong almost. And then I met someone also from Ring or from, you know, that area, and they were pronouncing it as I knew. So I thought, no, I'm not wrong. So I kind of had this identity crisis when I went there because I wasn't so sure. I wasn't from the Gaeltacht. So I thought, oh no, I must be doing it wrong because I've met other people from Gaeltacht areas and you're pronouncing it this way. So it was something that I had, it was just in me and I never knew existed that Ring Irish was a thing until I actually got to university and thought, wait, I'm pronouncing things differently that aren't the norm or what the teacher is saying, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong, whereas I thought it did at the start. So I'm trying to kind of grab it back because I do fall back into saying Teampel and Nay just for people, you know, just for the lack of, you know, I don't want any questions or for my own ease, but I need to hone it back in and keep it because I really like it.
And is there a word for like a local word for Gaeilge? Is it like Gaelin?
Gaelin, yeah, Gaelin na Rinne, you'd say. As far as I'm, yeah, Gaelin na Rinne, yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, like I find it interesting. I would say with TG Cahir. Now, TG Cahir might not agree with this, but I feel that there's definitely a leaning towards Connemara Gaeilge, I suppose, simply by the fact that it's headquartered there. But you can get exposed, like, through the media, I think, a lot easier to say Connemara Gaeilge. So if you're trying to claim your identity of Gaelin Narine, I guess it could be harder. But it definitely speaks to me that you do claim that dialect to be your own. I think there's something special about honing in on that local version of Irish you have.
Yeah, like I've spent a lot of time, well, not a lot of time, but a good bit of time in the Kerry Gaeltacht. That's where I would often go. That's where we went when we were in college on our Gaeltacht trips. And I love Kerry Irish. I had teachers from Kerry, one or two, and I love it. And I adore listening to on Saoil Ó Dheas, on TG Cathair and everything. But when I hear someone from An Ryan on TG Cathair, especially on Saoil Ó Dheas, I lap it up. I love it. I hear some of my old teachers are on there, and I just feel like, you know, I'm from Dungarvan. When I go home and I speak Irish, I speak to people who would have Ring Irish or would have learnt, you know, Irish from someone in Ring, or, you know, I speak to people from Ring. Why not keep that? Why go on and try and learn and perfect Kerry Irish? You know, my goal is to eventually be able to go back to Dungarvan and spend some time in Ring, or spend some time even in the Irish school doing even volunteer work, just to get my ear back into it, because it's not so commonly heard on the radio. I can't readily access it. You know, it's not readily available to me at any point, you know. I do have a couple of friends from the area, but it's not enough for me. I really want to go back at some point and spend some more time there and really perfect, get back what I used to have, I think. I don't think I was as aware of it as a child. And then you learn it in school from a different book and a different teacher, even in secondary school. So you forget it, you know, it happens. It's language contact. I'm in contact with people that are, you know, from all different parts of Ireland and speaking all kind of mixes of dialect. And that's fine too. But I think just because of someone who's grown up with Ring, that influence of An Ryan, I really want to embrace it, because it is a small Gaeltacht, you know, and I want to, you know, support and rep my area.
I suppose I agree with your point as well, to ban, like, people watching this or listening to this, like, we often get the question at Bites as Irish, like, how do I learn a certain dialect, or should I? Or it's often even like a barrier for people, especially people outside of Ireland. I don't think we're so conscious of that question in Ireland, because we see it's not such a barrier, I would say. The one thing I'd say about all this is, like, if you are learning Irish currently, like, don't let wanting a certain dialect stop you. I mean, you can always refine it later, much like you're talking about, Emma. So learning general Gaeilge is absolutely fine, and you can always refine it.
There's a nice mix oftentimes in books as well, you know. If you are getting books, there's a nice mix. Of course, if you are partial to wanting to learn, you know, if you want to learn Connemara Irish, you can go on the search for a book that is solely written in Connemara Irish. But there are books available that have just the standard Irish there, which is oftentimes a mix, or they allude to all three dialects within that. And, you know, as you said, when people are worried or they don't know, even we often get the question, what one should I learn, which is the best one? For me, I always say, make it relevant to you. If you are interested in a certain part of Ireland, or if you have family that are from a certain part of Ireland, or if you visited a part of Ireland before that, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be just about where is the best one to be, or where is the most available. Make it personal to you, more so than what's easiest, I think, because there's no easy dialect. All of them are equally, you have to learn as much in all of them. So I think making it relevant to your life and where you feel that you would fit in, or you would be interested in visiting even, would be my advice there.
Cool, really nice. How about we jump past your university time, and we bring you to on Yarmine, where you are, and we can always go back to your time in Cork if you like. So can you give us a bit of context? Like, there's a Gaeilge, like, module or modules provided by a university in Leipzig in Germany. So how does that happen? What funds that?
Good question. Yeah, so I came over and I had no idea, first of all, and I actually saw the advert. Someone sent it to me on Facebook, of all the places. And I applied and I knew nothing. And all I thought was, right, okay. And I, to be honest, I didn't even, you know, when you apply for a job, you should be looking into the company and looking into what they do. I didn't really. I just applied for it because I didn't have high hopes for myself. But everyone egged me on to do it. Fine. So I put in the CV and I got a call back from the current lecturer at the time. And he was a Donegal man and he was leaving. So they were looking for a replacement. And I did a small interview on the phone. And then I met with on the phone as well with the my current who's in charge of me, let's say. Yeah. So she had spoken to me and kind of gave me the rundown of what was going on. So Irish has been taught in Uni Leipzig since 2013. Now I'll stand corrected if someone can correct me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's 2013 as far as I remember. And that is funded by the Department of Arts, Culture and the Gaeltacht. So they would offer money to third level institutes abroad that would promote and teach the Irish language. So we're not the only ones in Europe, of course. There's plenty of places around Europe that you can learn Irish in university. So even when I went on my Erasmus, I went on a year abroad. I didn't even know Leipzig had done Irish. I went to the west of Germany. I went to Bonn, which had a small Irish department as well. Now, if I look at what we do in Leipzig and what they do in Bonn, we have a lot more, we cater to a lot more, many more levels, let's say. So you would enroll as a student here, let's say you want to do your bachelor and you want to have Irish involved in that. We fall under the Bachelor for European Minority Languages. So under that, then there's a couple of languages that you'd study, Irish being one of them, Sorbian being another, which is the minority language in the east of Germany. There's upper and lower Sorbian, quite similar to the upper Sorbians like Polish, the lower Sorbians like Czech. It's a Slavic language, but it's very much a minority language here. So we fall under that. And I then would teach first year, second years and third years. And within each year, then there's certain modules that we'd cover. So there's always an Irish language module, of course. So we always start off, you know, from the beginning in first year. People who've never heard, seen, spoken Irish before. Some people have a little bit. Maybe they went on holidays to Ireland or they're interested in the music. They might know what it sounds like, at least.
Oh, yeah. The music, yeah.
Yeah, I often ask them, you know, how do they, does anyone know any Irish? And they've maybe seen it on television in songs and things like that, or poetry. But we do that. And then we also do a module of Old Irish in the second semester of first year. And then in second year, we'd also do language, and you also then do Irish literature. And then in final year, then we do a module of we look at varieties of Irish. So I hone in on different dialects. The students do projects or presentations on different dialects. I get them to look at, you know, certain aspects of a dialect. Then we look at maybe some writers that write dialectically. And then in the final semesters in third year, there's something which is called specialized Irish, or Fach Irish, we say in German. And basically we'd look at really specific Irish. And I kind of leave it up to what the students are interested in. So we might, I had a student one year who really wanted to look at medical Irish. So I found pieces on that would describe, you know, whatever medical Irish we have. Law, we'd look at law tracks, maybe something from the constitution in Irish and things like that. So it's really interesting. So we get to quite a high level in the university. Obviously it depends on how much work the student puts in as well. Yeah. But we go from zero to up to a point where they are able to, they write me an entire essay in their final semester in Irish. which is wow. In 3 years a very good thing. And I think a lot of people wouldn't think that we'd get to that level, but absolutely we do.
Wow. Are these students, like, they'd have obviously a lot going on in their lives, so like, would you find, do they ever like tune into Radio na Gaeltachta in their own free time, or are they doing any of that?
I tell them always. I'm always sharing, you know, even I tell them about podcasts, things on TG Cahir yeah. going on. I share things that are happening, you know, more, maybe something's going on next week. I share that with them. I can't tell you if they do. I'm sure some of them do. I have gotten recommendations for books and TV programs and podcasts from them saying, oh, I found this and I was listening to it. I didn't understand everything, but I thought maybe you'd like it, Emma, or maybe you could show the other students. So I really like how proactive the students are. You know, I don't think every single one of them are listening to Radio na Gaeltachta every day, but who sure. is, you know, especially yeah. in university with many things going on. But I think a lot of them make a really good conscious effort to just do more than what's in the book or what's for homework. And I really love that because it inspires me to keep showing them, you know. I get the feedback from them that they enjoyed something or they found something. So I'm going to keep doing that and telling them, you know, more and more and more. And whether they use it or not, that's up to them. But I definitely think that a lot of the students are quite proactive in what they do.
Yeah. We might come back to like your recommended resources for learning the Irish language.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting that like you're teaching people who possibly never visited Ireland. They're definitely not native speakers, even English native speakers, obviously, mostly. So it's interesting, you know, and that gives you insight. How about we jump to Bite Size Pubble? Because, like, Emma, you're at the core of how Bite Size Irish helps people. Like, so to give my kind of background, I guess, of how your role as community manager at Bite Size Irish fits in. Like, when we started years ago, the idea was online self-study lessons with phonetic pronunciation and audio recordings. And that's still a core part of Bite Size Irish. But I think we realized that it wasn't how we could best help people. Of course, like, learning a language is something more interactive than that, and we want to encourage people to learn Irish and practice it. Gaeilge gach lá, our motto, and to use Irish. That's our ultimate goal. So our GROW membership is where you step in, helping people use their self-study material that we have for Bite Size Irish members. But Bite Size Pubble means community, and you're the community manager. So Emma, how would you describe what is Bite Size Pubble? Cadé?
Yeah, so it's, as you said, an online community where I am there Monday to Friday, every day, prompting people firstly, right? I start off, I come on in the morning or whatever time I pop on, and I go to, let's say, yesterday's posts that I post. And what I post are prompts, be it reading, writing, listening, whatever. There's a couple of different things that I do. And I try just to get the members working on a little piece. It might only take 10-15 minutes out of their day, but it's something other than what's going on Course C, because I know that when people are doing the Course C or the courses that we have available, you know, they're working through a certain topic and they might be on that topic for a week or two. Now what I try to do is I try and give them other topics that will just give them an extra bit of vocab or an extra bit of skill of reading or something to listen to that might not be anything to do with what they're doing on Course C, but it's, you know, it's short enough for them to be able to do it quick enough and it won't take hours. Because I know people want to sit down for maybe 2 hours and learn their language or learn their, you know, whatever grammar they want to do. Sure. So it's something
that's not sustainable either, is it?
No, absolutely not. You know, or maybe that day they didn't get a chance to log on to Coursey, but they're on Pubble because it's so interactive. People are chatting. It's not as, you know, I have to sit down now and do an hour of work. You see what I've posted that day. Oh, Emma posted this. Okay, that's a little reading piece. There's five lines in it. Sometimes there's 10, depending, yeah? And if people, I find that people feel a little bit more up to doing something that's small, these little goals that they have every day.
Yeah.
And I like it because I change it up and I see if people enjoy it or not. I get a lot of comments saying, thanks, Emma, I really enjoyed that one. And I like it because people are interested in different things in Irish. You know, people want to learn, people learn Irish or learn a language in general for different reasons. And I try and, I suppose, appeal to everyone at a certain point. So in the week, I'll cover one topic. I'll have a tema or a theme of the week. The theme this week, for example, is movement. So we're doing a lot on north, south, east, west, coming from the west, going north, all of that. And that's a tough topic for anyone that is learning Irish. That is a confusing topic. And to sit down and read a whole piece on it, maybe somewhere online, can be daunting. So I'm breaking it up into little parts that are accessible to everyone and that is sustainable, as you said, for someone to sit down for 15 or 20 minutes and do. Now, I'm not the only one running the show there at all. You know, I'm a part of it there, but without the members, then I'm posting into thin air. So it all depends on how active everybody is and all the members are on Pubble. And luckily for us, we have a great community on there and I feel like I know everyone. I feel like I'm personally friends with everyone there. We get to share just normal conversation as well as doing the exercises or the prompts that I do every day. I host a monthly call with members who want to join and we do reading and conversation. So we spend the first 10 or 15 minutes catching up because we only get to chat once a month. So we get carried away with just, you know, sharing news and telling a joke. And that's my favorite part because I really feel that the people on Pubble have connected so well, even though I'm sure most of them have never met each other in person. And it can be hard to learn a language online, but I find that Bite Size Pubble is just a perfect melody of everything. You know, it's you have that online learning that you can do it from home. You don't have to go to a class, but you don't have this kind of isolation of, okay, I'm learning this language, but who can I talk to? You kind of meet in the middle with Bite Size Pubble where you can type it and ask questions, but you also have the chance to meet me once a month, meet each other on members bio, so the call of the members that they just organize themselves, and also then once a week with Siobhan on Bite Size Bio with the scripted calls. So yeah, Pubble is just, I love logging on there every day because people share personal stories, pictures, things that they've done. And then also they are able to ask me questions, privately message me if they want extra work or extra corrections done. They talk to themselves. It's just brilliant. It's really, really, really good. And I think without Pubble, you know, Bite Size wouldn't be where it is now. I think even the people that are on Pubble and the Grow members and even the Explore members, you know, they log on even to our monthly Q&As on YouTube and you see them all there and they're all chatting with each other as well in the live chat. So it's not only on, you know, every day for 10 minutes, it's an ongoing thing that everybody is there and someone's always there to reply and chat and everything. So
yeah, and fair play, like you inject that energy into Bite Size Pubble with your daily challenges, your Duchline, and that creates like momentum. It gives a prompt, as you say, for people to join in. So Gramila Mahagot and fair play, Emma. We're lucky to have you. So let's see, like we noticed, I think, in the past kind of year that there were some more Irish people joining than previously. Like historically, Bite Size Irish has been very an international audience. Our pricing has been in dollars. We're working on changing that. We want to help people within Ireland and outside of Ireland, so make it more balanced. We've seen more Irish people join Bite Size Pubble. Interestingly, you said that your monthly Cugger Mugger call, you really enjoy that. What I love seeing on Bite Size Pubble is we have a Fáilte Isteach welcome in area. And we encourage when you join as a Grow member that you go there and post a hello to everybody and introduce yourself. And what I love seeing is basically immediately there's replies coming in of existing members saying, you love it here, join the live calls, do this, and it's very supportive. So this is our third time trying to set up a community at Bite Size Irish. It goes back many years, the initiative. But with you being there every day, that's the glue. That's what makes the community. Mm-hmm. And then the people who come in. So you were, to tie this back to your work in the university as well, what would be your go-to resources? And we can link these in the show notes. So let's say somebody's like actively learning Gaeilge. What are like three resources online that you think they should not ignore?
My top three. So first one that I love and I even use myself is Leilat, and we mention that all the time on the Q&A, Leilat and Leinish. Now I like that because big problem with people is that they're worried about pronunciation and what if I'm not pronouncing something correctly, and I don't know how that's said. Now with our Corsi and everything that we have in Bite Size, we have audio for you to, you know, to help you learn. But what if you're reading something that's, you know, a book or whatever? You have no idea unless you have someone to read it to you. So these two websites, basically, they allow you to listen to someone reading it and you can read along with it. And I think that's a really important part because even think about it, when you're a child, you always have someone reading to you, don't you? I don't want to compare anyone to children, but children, you learn your languages quickly when you're a child. And how is that done? Oftentimes it's read to you. So you see the words and then you can link it with it. So Leilat and Leinish are perfect for a normal level. You can go up and down in level in those as well. You don't have to just be a beginner. You can move forward. There's many, many things on there. So I love that. The second thing I would say would be listening to the radio. But one of them is, there's a list of podcasts online. I'm pretty sure that this podcast is in there, but I like podcasts because you can skip and pause and go back. When you're listening to the radio live, you can't so much do that. Mm. And I feel like podcasts are great because when you're listening to the radio, you kind of have to just listen to what's on the radio. You have to listen. You don't have a choice. But with podcasts, there's a couple of ones that are available. I'm not going to try and name them all now, but podcasts are a great way because you can stop and pause and go back, as I said, but also you can choose the topic. You can see what they're talking about beforehand. Yeah. And if you're interested in something, you know, you should listen to that. You know, if you're interested in politics and you find one on politics or a piece that they're talking for 20 minutes on politics, do that. Yeah. And I link that then with reading on Tuarisg and Nós.ie. Now, these might be obvious to people, but sometimes the most obvious ones are the best ones, aren't they? So Tuarisg and Nós.ie are two great websites for reading articles, so news articles and lifestyle articles. What I would say is, though, that...
Have I spent Tuarisg properly there?
Yeah, you have, as far as I think so. You find something that you're interested in. I'm not interested in sports. I don't listen to things about sports in English. I don't listen to them in German, and I'm not going to listen to them in Irish, okay? Only if I have to, you know, if it's on the news. But if I'm reading something, I will try and find something that I'm interested in my hobbies. If I am really interested in music, I'm going to try and find something to read. You know, when I was learning German, even here, I'd always try and listen to something that, you know, was relevant to what I had already known, or also if you're just interested in news in general, and you've already listened to the news this morning in English, why not go and try and find a written piece on it in Irish? Because you're going to know the story of what's going on, and you're going to know, you know, the kind of jargon that's being used in English, and you'll be surprised what you can figure out then by just having the context in another language. Does that make sense? Mm. Like, you have the context, you know, let's say, I don't know, someone became president this week in blah, 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 blah. If you try and find something that will be on Tuarsh.ie, because that does give you daily news, as well as on RTE.ie, they have a section in Irish as well. Find that in Irish and you'll be able to link back, and you won't be struggling even, because half the problem is sometimes figuring out what the hell they're talking about or absolutely what the hell you're reading, you know. Yeah. And then comes the vocabulary. So if
it
you
can
want
be very daunting to, like, yeah
really, because you're like, I don't even know where to start here. Yeah. And I know this all too well, even from learning German, you know. You start reading a piece and you're like, hang on, I don't even know this topic, I don't even know anything about this in English. So always relate it back to you, because you're going to then have a better idea of what's going on. So reading online, listening to things online, but more so the key point there is making it relevant to you and your life, your hobbies, your interests, mm-hmm. rather than just randomly choosing something online to read today. Plan it out a little bit better, you know, or maybe choose yourself a theme every week. You know, if you're planning on reading two articles per week, maybe this week I'll read two articles on health, and next week I'll read two articles on sports, and the following week, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you might just choose for a month long just to read health articles, and you'll see where you'll be at the start and see where you are at the end of the month. I can guarantee you you'll understand much more by the end of the month if you stick with, you know, a little plan for yourself. So that might be bit obvious, you know, to just read and listen, but it's more so how you read and listen would be my advice.
It's like that age-old problem of how do I keep going with something, how do I stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Our motto is Gaeilge Gacla, Irish every day. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're like linking that back to your own interests, what you find motivating, what you find interesting. It doesn't have to be what somebody else finds interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. Are there any books for studying the Irish language that you would recommend, like if a bite-sized Irish member wrote in to support their learning on bite-sized Irish? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that, like, any of those that pop to mind that you definitely recommend?
Definitely, yeah. So the ones I use, and a lot of people might be already familiar with them, would be Gaeilge Gan Sro. We've said it before, Gaeilge Gan Sro. There's the green one, which is for beginners, and the red one for intermediates. And I like that because it's, you know, especially if you're starting off, it's in English, and then they explain, you know, you have your vocab in Irish, and then it's in English as well. It's not fully in Irish, because I think sometimes diving into a book that's completely taught through Irish can be good, but it can be challenging for a lot of people. And, you know, when they open the book, they think, I don't even know what they're asking me to do here. So I love the Gaeilge Gan Sro books. The only thing I will say is that they're not follow-ons from each other. You know, sometimes you think, you know, the green would be the starters, and when you're finished the green, you move on to the red one. It's more so if you're a beginner, you start off with the green and you go through that. But if you have a little bit of Irish, or maybe you had it in school, you start with the red one, which is the lower intermediate book. They kind of cross over. There's a lot of crossover on the topics. So bear that in mind if you are going for them. The other book that I like, and it's an older book, is Colloquial Irish. It follows the same chapter structure as Gaeilge Gan Sro, which all follow the TEG, so the Tastas Ordapoch na Gaeilge. So basically the common European framework for language learning. You start off, you know, meeting and greeting, my family, moving, you know, they, so I actually use those together. I use both of them, and I love to give the students, you know, we'll go through the chapter three in Gaeilge Gan Sro, and then I'll say, right, for homework now, take this piece from chapter three in Colloquial Irish. They're nothing to do with each other, but they actually mm-hmm. so happen to cross over. And I like Colloquial Irish because they give a lot of example dialogue even, and both of those books have audio that go with them. And the third book that I definitely, or a series of books, would be Buntu's Kainte. Mm-hmm. Buntu's Kainte is a completely audio style learning. You have a book, you at the top of the page there'll be a word. It could be Aimshir, which means weather, and then they'll give you maybe 6 to 8 example sentences. Tán Aimshir fór, Tán Aimshir fliuch, so the weather is cold, the weather is wet, and then they give a mini conversation. It's really good for practicing your speaking and listening, pronunciation and that. So there's three of those. So start off with the first one and work your way through them. They're quite cheap as well. Per book, I think it might be only 10 euro or something around, along the lines of that. And they come with a CD as well. So they'd be my three main ones. I have a bookshelf of books here that I haven't even tried yet. So maybe ask me again in a year, Owen.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll have three more new ones that I can recommend.
Mm. Well, there's always new stuff coming up, isn't there? And online as well. So definitely our approach at Bites as Irish, it's not stick with one thing, but broaden your horizons and try to expose yourself to as many different sources as you can manage, really.
Mm-hmm.
Part of Gaeilge gach lá as well is that you're kind of absorbing, you're letting the language into your daily life. It doesn't always have to be study, like, definitely not. Like, try, for example, leaving Radio na Gaeltachta running in the background, or if you like singing or music or whatever is interesting to you, leave TG Cahir on in the background. But the more you can do that, and going back to earlier thing you said about your mother, you know, using phrases with, if there are people in your life, you can use a bit of Irish with to do that consciously. So yeah, thanks. That's all kind of feeding in together, isn't it? So I love the advice that you're giving. So Emma, like, you come across a lot of Irish language learners from a lot of different backgrounds, people in Ireland, people outside of Ireland, university students in Germany. Do you see, like, maybe big differences in, like, how they approach the language and the type of question that they put to you?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, so even in the classroom here in Germany, I do get Erasmus students coming over from Ireland, and they come into my Irish class. So they, I love it, because then they're my token Irish person. Yeah. You know, everyone can ask them, but oftentimes they have questions as well. So they're not, you know, not everyone that comes over here is, you know, native or fluent in Irish, but I love having them in the class because they give a different outlook on, or they have a different outlook on the language, or they have things that they'd ask questions that other students from Germany or from whatever country that they're from wouldn't ask. So I find that my students in particular, they are very interested in, they find the grammar, the word order. Irish is a VSO language, a verb subject object language. Now, for Irish people that have had a bit in school, it's kind of something you don't think about.
I never
heard of VSO until I think until I came here, maybe a little bit before, but you know, it's something that would just, you'd have as a child, you know, an bhfuil cadagam, is féidir liom táimí, you don't even know, but you are starting with the verb there. So the first questions that come from anyone that is totally, you know, new to Irish, totally alien to the language and its structure, is how do I you know, build this sentence? Whereas then the Irish people then ask more, they see maybe me using a type of verb, maybe a form of be, for example, yeah, on will may. And then they say, wait, is will something to do with thaw? And I'm like, yes, it is. It's the question form of thought. So I love it, because then the students that are in the class that, you know, wouldn't have asked that question in the first place, or wouldn't even put two and two together there, they'd say, okay. So I love how students, even on Pubble as well, that's the thing. You have people on Pubble that are doing the same thing. People that might have Irish from school or Irish already, or done a couple of Irish courses themselves. They would ask different questions to those who have never really dealt with Irish before, and they help each other. because it helps me. Well, as a teacher, I love it because I am getting questions that I have never even thought of. I got a question before. How do I know the difference in pronunciation between kahir, kahir and kahir? Now, I have never even put any of those in the same category. So kahir is the number four. Kahir is means city, and kahir is a chair. Owen, would you ever put those in the same? Would you ever in your head have mixed those up? I know where we have an
advantage. Like, no, like.
But now that you say it.
They're very similar.
They're very similar. So someone who's coming to Irish, you know, from nothing, they'd look at Cahir and they'd say, okay. And then they'd see Cahir and they'd say, okay, there's just an E in there. And then Cahir, you're like, okay, chair. Well, there's just an O in there. So that's something that now I'm like, okay, you actually have a very good point made there. And I don't think many people who have had it in, who had Irish in school, because they know the word for, or they know this.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Love it. I love it. It's really a great outlook, and it gives me then more scope. And I kind of am on the lookout for differences or similarities in certain things, or how I explain things as well. Changes, and I think it's for the better, because then the question, it's not the only time the question's ever going to come up in my life, and I get a better understanding of the grammar or the spelling or the pronunciation of Irish as well. Like the amount of grammar questions that I've gotten from people that I hadn't even thought of because I grew up speaking it, and you know, you'd say, well, it is what it is. Well, why?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know,
I see that happening on the Q&A a lot. Like, a question will come in, and when you and Siobhan are addressing it, it's like, oh, well, I've never actually considered that, but like, let's try to work it out. Why is it like this? Yeah. So it's interesting, so it benefits, isn't it?
Everybody.
It opens your eyes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's say you do the regular Q&As, although we might mix it up on the team a bit more, but monthly Q&As on YouTube. What's the most surprising thing there? Like, is there a trend that you see of people asking certain questions or something they're surprised with?
I do like the questions where it's where phrases come into question, because phrases differ in every language, you know. It's I actually included one recently, and it was Quirin Shay Ola Er Machri.
I'm not familiar with that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had only come across it recently, and it means it puts oil on my heart, which is actually it's music to my ears. So I love when people say, well, there's this phrase in Irish, is this like this in English? And it's totally not a direct translation at all. But I love when people try and figure out similarities or differences in phrases in that case. I don't know if that even makes sense in what I'm saying, but I just love how the way Irish has, I don't know, I feel like a lot of what we say, even how you say I love you in Irish, you don't just say, you know, I love you. It's grá machríhu or machiolhu, so which means you are the love of my heart or you are my music. So I find that when people ask questions like that, I love it, because it shows really how beautiful Irish is, and you do get a lot of it. And also then similarities in, or differences in phrases, such as, you know, we had one there recently on the Q&A, and it was tá isagam and tá rodaigan arolasagam. And what's the difference tá isagam versus tá arolasagam? They both mean I know, but how do you differentiate between them? And actually, who asked that, they likened it to the German. And then you find a link with German, where I actually was able to say, ah, you're right. So wissen and kennen, if anyone's familiar with the German language. So you then find links with Irish and other languages as well. And I find that myself, that really gives me a kick, because I just love finding similarities and helping people find links with other languages or other things they're aware of, or mm-hmm. that they're already familiar with.
Mm-hmm. You're bringing me back to my secondary school days. I had French, and I had 1 year of German, and they were both Asquelga, at the Gaeltachta. So that was interesting.
Mm.
It can be hard if English is your only language that you have command over.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard to relate to concepts like declension, cases that don't really exist any longer in modern English. So definitely if you can link your Gaeilge learning with something else, with another language, absolutely. But you start where you are, right? So
mm-hmm.
you have to
work with what you have.
You have to work what you have. That's it. I'm curious of people who are listening to this who grew up in Ireland, went to school, and are coming back to Gaeilge. What I've heard a lot, I guess, over the years is a sense of regret of not having learned more Gaeilge mm-hmm. when they had the chance at school, but now they see later the real value in it. Definitely the parents of school children as well, they have a specific motivation to help out with their kids as well. Emma, what would you say to someone who's they did Irish at school, they're definitely, they feel this intrinsic curiosity to come back to the language, but they see the road ahead of them as, being too overwhelming as they see it right now to really speak as Gaeilge. What would you tell them?
Well, I tell them, firstly, it's never too late. That's one thing. It's too late now. I'm too old. I won't be able to remember it. Scrap that idea, first of all. Mm-hmm. The second idea is that, or the second piece that I'd say would be that there's no time limit here. There is no end point that you have to be fluent by. Mm-hmm. There is no point that you have to say, right, I'm fluent now. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing journey forever. And it's up to you if you want to just commit to that. And committing to it doesn't mean that you have to sit down and do 4 hours a day or 10 hours a week, or you have to have a set amount. Incorporating it into your life is the first point. And if that's starting with 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes of maybe reading a book, a kid's book that you might have already stored from when you were in school or when your kids are in school, or if you have kids that are in school and there's an Irish book, reading their homework or reading their work, and then moving on maybe after a couple of weeks or a couple of months, however long it might take you, maybe you finish that book and moving on to another. So starting with a book, buy a book, find a book, borrow a book, whatever it might be, I would say to start with that and start reading. Just start reading, because even you might not know what every word is. That's not the goal here. The goal is trying to re-jog your memory, because we're talking about people that have went to school and had Irish in school. You have some level of Irish in the back of your head. You might not have used it for however many years. Start by reading and looking and seeing how you go. And I think most people are surprised with how much they can understand. If you have access to someone who can speak Irish, that's great, but a lot of people don't. But I find that even when I meet friends from maybe secondary school still, or people from home who wouldn't have much Irish or haven't used Irish since finishing their leaving certificate, sometimes I'll throw in some Irish to them. And the thing is that you'll always hear with people is, I can understand you, but I can't answer you. That's the first thing that you'll hear with a lot of people.
And that's natural, isn't it?
Sure. That's the first thing. One of the first things that you learn to do is understand a language. Speaking is one of the last skills that you actually develop when you're learning a language. Mm-hmm. Understanding is the first point. Think about how many times, even if you'd French in school and you could understand the teacher, but all you could say is, oui or no, or, and it's the same idea with Irish. So it's firstly getting your ear trained back into understanding and listening. Mm-hmm. The biggest fear that people have is saying something out loud and it being wrong. I'm sorry to tell you, but no one cares if you're wrong. If you're telling someone that you're a language learner and you want to practice Irish, if someone is there to help you or speak Irish or you, if you know someone that has Irish and you want to speak it, but you're afraid in case they laugh at you, they won't. If they do, I think they're about 0.001 of the population that would do that to anyone. So I think that getting over that fear and also training your ear back in, they're kind of two things, depending on, I don't know how long people will spend trying to do that, but it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's the fact that you're committing to it and doing it every day or every 2 days until you get to every day. You know, it's something I like to say, like, you have to build up a habit. It takes, I don't know, a month. I can't even remember.
As they say, yeah.
As they say, however many days they say to build a habit. The habit will only be 10 minutes for a month, let's say. And then build it up to 20 minutes. And then you might start enjoying it. Maybe the first month you might not, you might hate it. You might think, I'm never going to get to the end of this. I'm never going to get to the end. But give yourself a chance. I think people start positive and they see within a couple of weeks' time, often people will just give up and they can't. They don't give yourself the chance to see how you get on. You know, you need to cut yourself some slack as well and not be so hard on yourself. A lot of people are so difficult, like they find that they're too hard on themselves, simple as, you know, they think, no, I can't remember. Give yourself a chance. It's hard to come back to a language. It's really, really, really hard to come back and do and start basically from scratch. But if you start reading and working on it very, very in small parts and then moving on, I think you'll see progress where you weren't expecting it, or you'll understand a lot more than you thought you would be able to.
I love it. Very positive approach, Emma. So I think it's good to leave it at that, isn't it? On that positive note, this, we call it a journey. This language learning journey is available to everyone. Like you said, you start where you are, not somewhere else. You are where you are. And it's, I really like your point that it's not really aiming towards a certain point by a certain time. I don't think it works like that. We set ourselves up for like failed expectations, I think, with language. It's what I find really interesting over the years, because learning a language, it's not a simple process. You could say it's pretty straightforward, like the formula is simple enough, like, as we say, Gaeilge gach lá. But mentally or psychologically, it's like how to get yourself there. And it is possible. Just, I would say, drop the judgment of yourself and try to enjoy it, right? It's related to everything you said, Emma.
Just be nice to yourself and give yourself time. That's all I'll say. It's a really difficult thing. And there's no one, you know, breathing down your neck to get it done by the end of 2022. You know, you've many years after that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll tell people bitesize.irish is our website. We have membership plans where you can self-study with our online resources, or indeed learn with that and together with our Grow plan. And Emma, our community manager, is a core part of that. We're very lucky at Bites as Irish that the different team members are, like, including yourself, Emma, have a real genuine gra for Gaeilge and for helping people to learn the language. I'm very proud of what we do, you know, week to week. So Emma, as I said, we're very lucky to have you as part of Bites as Irish, and I hope that people feel like they've gotten to know you that bit more. Of course, every YouTube video we have to make the call out, subscribe to the channel and you'll get notified of our monthly live Q&As for Irish language learners. And if you're listening to this as the Bitesize Irish podcast, you can find the show notes on our webpage, bitesize.irish, and you go to the podcast under more and all the show notes will be there. If you're watching this on YouTube and you'd like to find the Bitesize Irish podcast, you can do so on all the usual places like iTunes and Spotify. So Emma, Gramila Mahagotarisht.
Gramila.
Vísa Anias Lertlet, is very nice to talk to you, and we leave it at that.
Oh, fantastic stuff. I really enjoyed that interview with Emma of Bite Size Irish. And of course, as we were talking about, go to www.bitesize.irish and you can go to our memberships page if you're interested in becoming a Grow member. What else? We have to always thank Tuku Mo, whose music that you hear on this podcast episode as always. And I suppose until next time, but P.S., you can ask a question for the podcast as well. You can record your audio question for the podcast and be featured in the podcast. So to do so, you go to bitesize.irish, go to the podcast page under the More menu, so More and Podcast. There's a big button where you can record your question and it'd be lovely to hear you. So until next time, toga bugge, slán go fóill.